It's been a few weeks since the federal government announced it'll invest around $18 million in an online program to counter the social media influence of extremist groups. But social media analysts are not convinced it can work. An online specialist who's advised militaries and governments around the world says while Islamic State's social media propaganda is highly sophisticated, countering it with another propaganda stream won't work. Nicole Matesh is an advisor on international military crisis information operations and social media jihadism, and she's worked on a research project on Australian foreign fighters. She's attending a forum on social media and extremism in Canberra this week. Anousheh Mushtaq, who lived in Pakistan and Libya as a child before settling in Australia with her family, is also there. They both joined me earlier. At this conference in Canberra, the focus is on how Islamic State extremists use social media. And Nicole Matesh, how sophisticated is it? Is IS using the sort of techniques that you normally advise government defence forces to adopt?
Absolutely. It's a very symmetric warfare situation, whereas they have the same tools that we have. So we have a very even playing field.
You see this as a sort of new forum for modern warfare, don't you, the social media space?
Absolutely. It's a hybrid warfare situation. So there's a lot of complexity involved in just how the war is being fought, not just on the battlefield, but also in cyberspace.
So what sorts of use are they making of social media?
It's basically being used as a propaganda tool. So we get a lot of Facebook, Twitter action in terms of trying to influence people either to support them, to go to Syria or Iraq and fight for them, or even just to incite violent acts at home.
It's interesting that this radical group seems in some cases to be promoting a lifestyle, not simply posting evidence of its brutality. Why does it do that?
Its aim is to appeal to disaffected people. So it's a broad-scale lifestyle, as you say, appeal, so that the attraction is there, that what they feel disaffected with, say, in Australia, they can receive, you know, a holistic kind of Muslim existence over in Iraq, and that's very attractive to young people who may feel disaffected from their own communities here in Australia.
So, Anousheh Mushtaq, from your perspective inside Australia's Muslim community, how critical is social media in drawing young people to extremist groups like IS?
Yes, definitely. It is a very powerful tool. So the way they're using social media is to promote a couple of key Islamic concepts, which starts from the five pillar of Islam. And as Islamic State declares itself the caliphate, they're saying that come and join us, otherwise you will be the miscreant. And that was the key messages that they're promoting in the social media.
So give us an idea of those sort of lifestyle postings that would appeal to young Muslims.
Yeah, so I think, as I mentioned in my speech, the issue is the culture. It's a classic thing when the Muslims move from their countries to the Western world, they actually become more conservative and want to hold on to their religion and cultural values of what they were in their country of origin.
Well, you were brought up in a Muslim family in Pakistan and then moved to Australia.
That's right.
What sort of pressure did you come under?
Yeah, so some of the pressures were obviously, you know, the cultural things. And when we moved here, my uncle sponsored us. So, you know, from being able to go out and meet friends, we were asked not to go out and meet friends, and especially from the Australian, Caucasian and non-Muslim backgrounds. And then we were asked not to attend any school excursions or any functions. So we used to come home and just sit at home, or either we were taken to some, Pakistani Muslim family functions. And the integration with the Australian society, mainstream society, was very less. And also coming from the armed forces background, the culture in the armed forces in Pakistan is very liberal. You know, they're not very conservative at all, but suddenly there was a big change for us and it was a big impact on my life. I felt really isolated and very depressed and I didn't like it here at all. They're some of the key issues which I've tried to present in my speech. And I see this today as well. For this researching on this specific speech and topic, I did interview a few people and it was the same message that their parents came here. They're stuck here and they're isolated. And what they do, they go in their room, they get onto the Facebook, they get onto the Twitter, and they just see all sorts of things. And because the immigrant parents are not really tech savvy, they can't really keep an eye on what their kids are doing. And that's a really big issue.
That's a really interesting point. The government response here is to promise $18 million to fund what the Attorney General calls real-time social media monitoring and a counter-narrative strategy. Nicole Martesh, can government authorities really hope, though, to confront social media campaigns by extremist groups that are designed to attract the sort of recruits that Anousheh is describing?
Well, I think approaching propaganda with propaganda isn't necessarily going to be a successful strategy. I think you've got to look more holistically into how these people and how these children can actually be encompassed into Australian society and the community and feel valued and feel heard and address the issues at the source rather than trying to sort of affect the counter-narrative at the end of the radicalisation process.
So what do you mean by that? What could this $18 million usefully be spent on?
Yeah, it could be used, for example, for early intervention strategies in healthcare, in schools, in the education system. It could be used to ensure that minors, unaccompanied minors, cannot get on planes at international airports without their parents' consent and knowledge, for example.
So you're saying that it would be better spent not in the social media space?
Well, I think that it's going to be a collaboration of the two, but as an isolated counter-narrative or trying to battle propaganda with propaganda, it's not going to be as successful if they can't holistically address the underlying causes of what drives young people to radicalisation.
What about non-government responses online? For example, how effective has that anti-Islamic State campaign that we've seen on Twitter recently, which is led by hacker groups like Anonymous, how effective has that been?
It's an interesting question because it's hard to measure how effective that's been when we haven't got a holistic picture of who's watching what on social media, how they're influenced, what state of the radicalisation process they're in. There's been a lot of research out of some think tanks in the United Kingdom that have countered the narrative successfully with examples like Abdullah X. So you could YouTube or look up Abdullah X and see what they're doing in terms of presenting a critical thinking argument for young Muslim men that is directly aimed to that demographic. So that, in terms of what they've done in the UK, it's been highly successful.
So Anousheh Mushtaq, what's your sense of this? Is the government on the right track with its $18 million program?
So I do agree with Nicole. So to tackle the rising issues of radicalisation and terrorism, it is important to understand what strategies these militant groups are using. And the communities who will be able to help understand, translate these messages from the militant groups are Muslims. So engaging them earlier on will be the best thing that I agree with. And also, you know, growing terrorism and especially homegrown terrorism is a big issue. But the bigger issue is how to minimise the risk of a moderate Muslim moving towards fundamentalism and radicalisation process.
You say that it's important that the community and the government work together, but can they work together? There's a lot of distrust on both sides, isn't there?
That is right. That is so true because I was actually talking to one of my friend very recently. She has been in IT with me for some time and I haven't seen her for like 2 years. And when I spoke to her, I said, what are you doing now? And she said, oh, I'm doing Islam full time. And I said, oh, what does that mean? And she said, oh, I've got this website and I'm preaching Islam and I'm doing this. And very, very intelligent girl, and I was quite surprised. But, you know, her idea, when I was talking to her during the interview, her idea about what the government is promoting, you know, new anti-terror laws and also about banning Hizb ut-Tahrir, she said it's wrong and they're very close-minded. And I said, they're not very close-minded because, you know, what I saw during the Sydney siege, I'll Ride With You, was a classic example of how Australians can work with Australians if we really try hard.
That's Anousheh Mushtaq, an Australian Muslim, and Nicole Martesh, an advisor on international military crisis information operations and social media.